good afternoon, everybody. It is 4:06 in the Rocky Mountain West. This is the Around the House program for the day before Mother's Day, the 8th. Tomorrow, hope mom and grandmoms and all you wonderful ladies in the audience have a wonderful day. And it's your day, so enjoy it. And I've got daughters-in-law, too, I got to pay attention to, and as well as my daughter. And I just hope that you are in touch with whoever's important in your life tomorrow on Mother's Day. 303-713-8255 is our contact line. I'm Ken Moon. We do this every Saturday. We have now going on 28 years in the Denver metro area, thanks to our flagship station, KHOW, and all of our wonderful affiliates, K2 in Casper, KCOL in Fort Collins, KRDO AM and FM in the Springs, and KCSJ down in Southern Colorado in Pueblo. So we're so glad you're with us no matter where you're listening to us. And of course, you can listen live at your favorite radio station and all that. So anyway, good to have you with us. We have live email as we always do when we are in the studio. So we have live email at aroundthehouse.com. Let's see, start off with some cute stuff here on the internet. David and Jan are frequent contributors to the program. I'm not sure where they live, but I've seen their name over and over again. They just send me these little internet kind of funny things. So these are okay. These kind of more apply to people that are kind of growing older. Anyway, I thought the dryer made my clothes shrink. Turns out it was not the dryer, it was the refrigerator. My doctor asked if anyone in the family suffered from mental illness. I said, no, we all seem to enjoy it. Camping, where you spend a small fortune to live like a homeless person. I like that one. Just once, I want a username and password prompt to say, close enough. Yeah, I know. I just tried to get on one of my credit card company websites to check my statement. It took me, by the time I was done with all the passwords and verification codes and all that, took me 15 minutes just to get online. Anyway, I'm a multitasker. I can listen, ignore, and forget all at the same time. This one is kind of spookily cute in a way. At my funeral, take the bouquet from my coffin and throw it into the crowd to see who's next. Woo. Retirement to-do list, : wake up. Nailed it. That's it. Wake up. Went to an antique show and people kept bidding on me. Ooh. People who wonder if the glass is half empty or half full miss the whole point. The glass is refillable. Never thought of it that way. I don't trip. I just do random gravity checks once in a while. My heart says chocolate and wine, but my genes say, please, please have a salad. This one is crazy. 1 minute you're young and fun, the next you're turning down the car stereo to see better. Losing weight doesn't seem to be working for me, so from now on I'm going to concentrate on getting taller. What a great idea. Some people are like clouds once they disappear. It's a beautiful day. I like that one too. Some people you're glad to see coming. Some people you're glad to see going. I know about that. Common sense is not a gift, it's a punishment because you have to deal with everyone who doesn't have it in the first place. Let's see here. Senility. If you see this same list a year from now, you will think they are all brand new. So check yourself on that one. Yeah, common sense, not as common as you would like it to be, is it? 303-713-8255. The iHeart News Radio News site, iHeart.com, had a notice, and I printed this out today. I wanted you to know a bunch of smoke alarms have been recalled. We've talked about the Kidde brand of smoke and carbon monoxide alarms many times here on the program. And there's a bunch of serial numbers here that I don't want to read them because you're not going to write them down anyway. But these were smoke and carbon monoxide detectors that were sold from May 9th through 2019 through last September, primarily at Walmart, Home Depot, Amazon, and Menards. At Menards up in, Casper and Cheyenne and up that way. So from May 2019 through September 2020, most of these serial numbers or model numbers are smoke alarms. A couple of them are combination smoke carbon monoxide alarms. So if you want to take a look at these, if you recently bought a smoke or carbon monoxide, not recently, but in the last couple of years. You might want to go to the Kitta site, kitta.com. You can also go back to iheart.com and just click and just type in the search box smoke detectors and check that out. And there's an 844 number here, 844-796-9972. So the company said that you should continue to use the recalled alarms till a replacement has been installed. They're going to give you replacements, of course, for free. They're primarily worried because they may fail to warn users if there's a fire. So if you've got a Kitta smoke and or carbon monoxide alarm you bought in the last couple of years, go ahead and go to the website or the iHeart site and check that out, okay? 303-713-8255. Here's a tip from, this is from a listener named Sonny. Caller, last Saturday and the Saturday before, we talked about ants big time. There's a product by my Bonide friends called Revenge. That's a revenge against ants and other bugs, which I highly recommend. And the gentleman recommends a different brand, but his is granular also. And the granular starts killing ants right away. There's a guy that called it, had those flying ants that seem to come out and swarm during the summertime from his lawn. I've had those not every year, but once in a while. And I recommended that Revenge Ant Killer granules. That really works very, very well. So that's what to do with ants. I have ants. Since the hot weather's here, I have little ant hills and ants crawling all over my edge of my driveway and in the cracks in my concrete here and there. And this, the hot weather is just the time that they do come out. And just, you can use a regular ant spray. Bonide makes those also, my sponsor, and just zap them here and there. I mean, theoretically, you need to go back to the originating nest, but that's a hard thing to do. And if they're just here and there, just zap them if you want them to go away. So that's the deal with ants. What else did we talk about? Let's see. Yeah, my buddy John Creddy, who's here every few weeks talking about lawn and garden issues, I sent him a picture. I have these spots in my lawn, and you might too, just here and there. They're average probably about a foot square or something like that, some bigger and some smaller, where the lawn is nice and green growing up around them, but there's these spots here and there with just thatch lying in them that are totally dead. And I was worried that I had some kind of a disease or something, and I took a cell phone picture and sent it to John Creddy, and he thought it's either one of two things, either winter kill or snow mold. And yeah, either one is not terribly fatal for your lawn. It's just snow sits on there. There is some fungus that prefers to live under there in the lawn that flourishes when the snow is sitting on top. I don't know the actual process of why that happens, but snow mold takes hold if there's a snow cover for a good length of time. So if you have issues like that, like winter kill or snow mold, we just have these dead patches here and there. The thing to do is just to scratch those up with a rake of some kind, or maybe a little garden tiller tool that you can just scratch that area up and throw some composted topsoil in there. I found some great topsoil at the hardware store, really cheap, and just throw a few handfuls of that in there. And put a Kentucky bluegrass mix in there and kind of scratch it around so the seeds are just barely covered. Just keep it wet for a couple of weeks, and those areas will pop back right in. But it's the first time I've had an extensive bunch of these in my lawn, and some of my neighbors have them also. So I think it depends how much snow you get and how long it sits around. Oh, and or if you haven't done your winter watering. We've talked about winter watering so much. So that's something to take care of just very easily with a handful of topsoil and a little bit of grass seed. A bluegrass mix is ideal for around here. Otherwise, my aerating and fertilizing about a month ago has done a really good job. My lawn is deep, dark green, just looks very healthy, except for those spots. So just thought I'd share that with you. Whatever's on your mind, we'd love to hear from you today. So check in with us at 303-713-8255. And this is the Around the House program, and we shall be right back.
From your faucet to your furnace, Ken Moon has solutions around the house.
21 minutes after 4 o'clock, 21 after 4. Let's talk to Darlene in Pueblo. You're on the air with Ken Moon around the house. Hi, Darlene.
Hi, Ken. How are you today?
I'm fine. What's going on down in Pueblo?
Well, it looks like it might rain. But anyway, I need to know, I'd like you to steer me in the right direction. Yeah. I have an older home in Pueblo, well, belonged to my mother, but we were moving things around, and I noticed in the basement, it's cinder block and cement. But I noticed there's, I'm getting a gap between the cinder block, and it's probably about an inch. But that wasn't there a couple of years ago. I'm not quite sure. You know, we moved some stuff around. And I'm sure it's from the trees. Because
well,
it is
that, that's
hall.
A that's a possibility. Yeah, is there a tree right close there somewhere?
They're pretty close. I'm not sure which one. There's a couple of them, and they're big. But I don't know. Do I call a tree trimmer? Do I call a foundation person? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I need to ask a few questions here to help me visualize this. Is it just a concrete block here and there, or are there multiple blocks involved? And are the cracks kind of zigzag? They go sideways and down, sideways and down. You get the idea.
No,
kind of describe
it
to me.
It's the cinder blocks probably come up 6 layers. And the crack is the mortar. It's not. It's
No, no, I know, but I knew it would be in the mortar. But is it zigzag all the way down from top to bottom, or is just a block? A joint here and a joint there.
Yeah, it seemed to just affect like between like the second and third row.
Yeah.
So it's
and many blocks on that row, or just one or two?
Oh no, for the crack.
Yeah.
But no, it's just in one spot.
Okay. Well, that's not a huge worrisome thing. The thing about concrete blocks, and by the way, that's in my background. Back in New England when I was a kid, we concrete block foundations were very common. I don't know if it's because concrete was so expensive. In those days, I wasn't very interested in these topics, but there's a lot of those around. If it's just a what I would do is I would keep an eye on it to see if it bulges inward. If it bulges inward, it may be a root if it's just in one place. It's hard for me to, I'm trying to organize my thoughts here. The other thing it could be, of course, is water. Water that dumps off the roof and the gutters and the downspouts and gets behind that foundation and creates static, hydrostatic pressure, which pushes against that wall. If it's just in one spot, it could indeed be a root just pushing in that one spot. The good news is, if that's the case, they can dig down in that one spot and just cut that root with a chainsaw, and it's over with. So I'd keep an eye on it. Or do you know already that's continuing to pooch out?
Oh, it's not pooching out. It's just there's just a separation there. But on the outside, see the house is quite old, and it was probably on a cement foundation. There's cement up to the house on the outside.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good thing.
And the part that's above the ground is cement. So I'm thinking at some point over the years, because the house was built in the 20s, they must have added the basement.
Yeah, they might have dug it out. Yeah. In the 20s, they were digging out basements to put furnaces in and, those big old octopus furnaces and maybe a water heater, but probably not in those days. But, so they might have dug it out and put it in. I would just keep an eye on this, and if it kind of stabilizes, I would ignore it. But if it continues to push inward into the basement, it could indeed be a tree root. And in that case, you would call a tree service, an arborist, to come out there. Now, whether they will dig it out or would want you to have somebody dig it out is another question. Do you know what kind of tree is outside this wall? Do you have any idea, Darlene?
I want to say it's a silver elm is what I think.
Yeah, that could be the case.
But because the tree is probably 50 years old, 60 years old.
Yeah, well, the roots from those deciduous trees tend to be down a little deeper into the ground than evergreen roots are. But it could be. Just keep an eye on it. And if it gets worse all summer long, you could call a structural engineer. The good news is the fix for this is fairly easy and inexpensive. They just put a big metal strap. They drill into the concrete blocks in the area and put two or three metal straps in there with some grout and so on to stabilize that wall.
So I probably wouldn't have to remove the tree.
No, I don't think so. If the root is heading in that one direction, they cut that root off and it'll just find water someplace else. Yeah. But keep an eye on it. I would not do it right now, but if that's the case, the good news is you have an exact measurement, so to speak, of where the problem is, and so they could dig straight down there and take a look. But if it's just one or two concrete blocks, that could indeed be the case. So, I'm pleased about the concrete on the outside, so that means it's probably not water-related. But this could also be, Darlene, just simply shifting, normal shifting of the wall, as the seasons come and go, the soil in Pueblo, parts of it can be real clay containing and all that. So just keep an eye on it. If it gets a lot worse, call it an arborist. I'd love it if you'd let me know if you have time to share that with the audience. Yeah.
That'd be awesome. So an arborist rather than an engineer at the moment.
I think, right. Yeah. Because now if you had said to me, just to finish the conversation here, if you had said to me, well, the concrete blocks, the mortar joints between them are cracked in a zigzag direction down, over, all the way to the floor, I'd say call an engineer because that's a real structural issue.
Right.
This is just a one-time thing, and it may just quit on its own, okay?
Okay. Yeah, I know it wasn't there a couple of years ago, but I don't know when it started.
Yeah, well, there you go, sure. Well, anyway, have a good one. I have a soft spot for Pueblo. I lived down there two separate times in the 70s and the 80s, and I have a lot of friends still down there. It's a nice little town. It's easy to fit in down there. We really enjoyed our time down there. So
I hope you
are enjoying it too. Thanks, Darlene.
All right,
Happy Mother's Day. I'm glad you called. Let's see here. I was talking about smoke detectors a few minutes ago. This is an email. This is kind of a similar topic, but a little different slant. Bruno sent me an email. I was house sitting for a friend. The smoke alarm started chirping. Replaced one battery. Alarms were silent. Next day, alarm starts chirping again. Replaced that battery. We're just not sure what to do. The Kidde batteries tested way over voltage. I'm not sure what that's all about. I would probably put all brand new, and I'm a big fan, Bruno, of copper tone batteries, the Duracell batteries. I would take all the batteries out of all the smoke detectors and put brand new Duracell batteries in and just see what happens. You say these are about one-year-old smoke detectors, and he thinks the Kidde batteries are misbehaving. Maybe he suspects they're putting in batteries with an extra cell to provide longer lifetimes. Well, an extra cell would mean higher voltage, which you indicate. So I just go back to regular Duracell copper top batteries, because a one-year-old smoke detector, the technology is such, it'll warn you in the as this has been happening in the last, that's why you emailed me. This has been happening recently. If those batteries start to wear out, then, yeah, you can replace them. But I would just go back to normal, regular lithium batteries. And I'm a big fan of the copper top. I use a lot of AA batteries and cameras and so on. And I just think I get a lot more lifetime out of copper Duracell copper tops. You can buy them cheap at Costco, by the way. So I would start all over with brand new, fresh, the same battery in every single detector. And let me know how that works for you. Here's an email from Chuck Bryan from Eagle Crest, and his technician came over as a second opinion as another company giving me some expensive repair estimates. And long story short, my furnace is fine. Just cleaned the flame sensor, and Bryan did this at no charge. What a guy. Well, he is quite a guy, actually. Bryan at Eagle Crest. Eagle Crest is my Denver-based heating and air conditioning contractor. And speaking of which, I fired up my AC for the first time this season, this past week. And if you're tired of hot summers at your house and want central air, I got the place that you, for you to go, and that's Eagle Crest. This is the guy you need to talk to, Brian at Eagle Crest. He can get you a brand new Rheem system for your house for only $3,500, complete and installed. What a best deal in town. So it's time to get AC at your house. You've been suffering in the summer long enough. So give Brian a call, 303-451-5607. Tell him I sent you, and he can get you that Rheem deal before you know it. Now, this is a plus or minus price. If you have an unusual condition, something, you know, wrong with your furnace or your crawl space or something, it might be a few bucks more. But that's $3,500 is a pretty hard and firm price for Central Air. Rheem system, Rheem is my favorite brand. He can get you 18 months same as cash financing with approved credit. So why wouldn't you call Brian at Eagle Crest? 303-451-5607, and get a Rheem system in your house for the summer that's on the way. And by the way, if you want a $50 gift card for any of Brian's services, simply email me here in the studio through the AroundTheHouse.com website. I'll send your email to Brian. That's 50 bucks off a cleaning or whatever you need from him or the new system we just talked about. $3,500 for a new Rheem central air system at your house. Call Brian at Eagle Crest, 303-451-5607. And we'll be right back right here on Around the House.
Fix-it problem at your house? Ken Moon can help. Call 303-713-TALK. That's 303-713-8255.
It's 23 minutes before 5. We'd love to hear from you today if you want to check in with us here on the Around the House program. And, of course, live email right here in the studio. Go to the AroundTheHouse.com website. Click on the second button from the left. And it's I think it says contact Ken or email Ken or something. And I'll see your email right here in the old studio. Are you guys, tell me, are you wearing a mask like you used to wear a mask? I was talking to Shannon during the break, and I went to this week Walmart, Walgreens, and where else did I go? King Supers and Lowe's, all four of those this week, and didn't wear a mask, and nobody said a word, and there were a bunch of other people in there maskless, which I just see more and more. So I think as people get vaccinated, they're kind of leaving their masks in the car, and it's kind of, it's healthy to feel it. I know that technically you're supposed to wear it, but I think people are getting to the point where enough is enough. It's time to move along, and because this, you know, the cases and the death from this are plummeting like a rock. So I'm just seeing more and more of that, people exercising kind of common sense. And, you know, we Americans don't like to be, for the most part, told what to do. And so I like it. I think it's healthy. And I think I think Governor Polis here, maybe by the end of this month, will become much more liberal with the mask mandates. But in those particular stores, nobody said anything. Now, they might just think I'm some kind of a weirdo and just don't bother him because he's in his own little world. We won't. But, I purposely stayed away from people. And when I got to the check stands, I pulled my mask up because I didn't want to make people uncomfortable. But it's really cool to just feel so much. You just breathe deeper, and it's just a good feeling to not wear a mask. I go to a gym. Actually, I go to one of the YMCAs, and I'm amazed that people I see in there actually exercise with a mask on. And now there's new research that you're oxygen deprived when you're wearing a mask, and you're getting a little extra CO2 that you don't really need. And so there's some evidence now, especially with little school children, that wearing masks perhaps affects their brain function and maybe their ability to learn and all that. But to see people exercising and sweating and breathing deep through a mask is kind of weird, makes me uncomfortable. In the YMCA I go to, when you sit down at your machine or whatever weights you're doing, they allow you to take your mask off. A lot of people don't do that. Kind of funny. I got it when I'm outside walking around or exercising. Boy, mask doesn't work for me. I don't know about you, but anyway, it's nice to see this easing up a little bit as we come into the summer season here in the Rocky Mountains. 303-713-8255. What else we have here? This is from Peter. Peter, this is a good timing on this because we're coming into the rainy season. He says, my neighbor's water runs toward the side of my house. We're pretty close together, so it's difficult to get it under control. Any ideas? Well, yeah, I've got a few ideas. If there's enough room to regrade between the houses, you can cut a swale, S-W-A-L-E. That's a kind of a V-shaped ditch at the halfway point between the houses. And that swale will help carry the water down and away towards the street. That's one idea. If your houses are really close together, then I think that the downspouts are the real culprit. About three-quarters of the water that can impact your house and your foundation and make your life miserable comes out of the downspouts. So I think what you all should do, maybe you and your neighbor, Peter, should get together and buy some of that black flex pipe and tie your downspouts together. Maybe kind of a joint pipe here. You have little T's and Y's you can use. Your downspout can join his downspout and then into a common pipe, which can also dump out towards the street. You can bury that plastic polyethylene pipe if you'd like. It's just out of sight, out of mind. You don't trip over it. But that would be a good idea. You can kind of share the expenses. If you have to hire somebody to dig the ditch, you can split that also. But if you join your resources together in terms of your downspout, then I think you're going to be in business here. Because especially if you say you're downhill from your neighbor, and your neighbor is allowed to run water in the historical drainage flow or drainage path. Your neighbor is allowed to dump water to you, and you turn it in turn dump it to your downhill neighbor, and on that's the rule around here. So there's nothing much you could do. But if you have window wells on that side of the house, you're especially vulnerable. So you might want to get with the neighbor, cut that swale, or join your downspouts together or something, which I think would really be the answer for you guys. And I just hope that's helpful to you. 303-713-8255. Before we go to a break, I want to talk to another email here about from Tom. My deck is pretty bad. I like to restain it, but I dread having to sand it again. Any other way to tackle this? I would not sand a deck. Sanding a deck is tedious. It's dusty, and it's just not something I really want to do. Power washing and using some stripping chemicals really are the way to go, I think. Sanding a deck is kind of a last resort thing. First of all, it takes a long time to do this, and it's noisy and just hard work. Plus, if you get snagged into some nails or screws, then the sanding, whatever sanding paper you're using, whatever method you're using, can get all jacked up from the nail heads and so on. So just forget the sanding. Strip it down with a stripping chemical, a brightening chemical you can get in the same aisle that you find the deck stains, like in the paint store, hardware store, Lowe's, or Home Depot. And these are usually oxalic acid or sodium hydroxide, one or the other. One is an acid and one is a lye base kind of thing. And basically, you wet down the deck, apply the stripper with a roller or brush, let it sit for 20 minutes or so, take a break, have a cup of coffee, and then get out there with a stiff bristled broom, or better yet, your garden hose with a spray nozzle on it, or best yet is to use a power washer and scrub it with that broom. And between this broom and the power washer or the hose, the nozzle on your hose, and the stripping chemical, it'll get almost down to that bare wood. You'll be surprised. All that pollution and dirt and so on will be gone, and that'll leave you kind of a virgin deck to start over with. So the only precaution I have on that is that these deck stripping chemicals are a little harsh, and your lawn or garden would not appreciate it. So get some plastic drop cloths when you pick up the deck stripping chemical to put over your vegetation that's precious to you, so you don't get the chemical on there. Use lots of water and so on. And I think you'll be pleased. Then apply your deck stain. I like, as I've been talking about the past, year or so, even more than that, about I've kind of gone away from linseed oil deck stains to the water-based products, which the formulations today chemically are terrific. So you might check out. I like Olympic Maximum, but Bear and Penifin and a lot of other brands have water cleanup versions, water soluble versions of that of the deck stain, and it comes in colors, of course. But the point is, it's easy to clean up and wash the roller, and you don't have to worry about rags in the trash and all that. So check out a good water-based deck stain in your favorite color. And there you are. That's the way to do it. Strip it down and sort of start over. Before we go to break, I want to talk about the Bonide Company. They have a new product called Cleanup. Cleanup with a K, K-L-E-E-N, Cleanup, H-E, a new high-efficiency product. Gets rid of weeds and grass for good with that Bonide product. Bonide makes some good products, and this is high on that list. Cleanup, high efficiency. It's formulated to kill weeds, grass, brush, and you can see results just in a few hours. Provides contact control, kills down to the root so the weeds don't grow back. Hello, goodbye dandelions, right? 1 gallon of spray can kill up to 1,000 square feet of unwanted weeds and grasses. That's 3 times more than what you normally get. Cleanup high efficiency, use it around patios, walkways, driveways, trees, flower beds, gardens, and much more. So it's a good product. Cleanup H-E, that stands for high efficiency. It is a spectracide, so read the label and follow directions to the letter, but you know that anyway. Bonide products are family made in America, and you can get Bonide Cleanup at many fine retailers, and I've got a few suggestions for you here. Jensen's Flowers and Garden in Lakewood, the Big Toolbox in Centennial, Fort Collins Nursery, Nick's Garden Center in Aurora, Rick's in the Springs, and O'Toole's Garden Center in Lakewood. Look for Bonide Cleanup H-E at your favorite retailer, or go to bonide.com. You can put your zip code in and find a retailer right there. Cleanup H-E and your weed problems will be over. We'll be right back right here on Around the House.
Need advice on your next home project? Back to Around the House with Ken Moon.
It's 9 minutes before 5 o'clock in the Rocky Mountain West. Good to have you with us here on the Around the House program. We'd love to hear from you today, and that's 303-713-8255. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms, grandmoms, great-grandmothers. You know who you are. We're so glad you're in our lives, and we're so happy that you get a day to yourself tomorrow. So make sure, you know, the kids that, I remember the kids bringing burnt toast and dry scrambled eggs up the stairs when they were little for mom. And that's just such a neat thing. And so those wonderful memories. And I hope you have those tomorrow. Make sure you put your feet up and let somebody wait on you. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the audience. 303-713-8255 and live email at aroundthehouse.com. Let's see what else we have here. Tammy says, I think I heard you say that you can use some oil in a plumbing drain to keep the smell out of the house. Wouldn't it get stuck or harden in there? Well, Tammy, that's a pretty good question. I had a lady call up here years ago on the program who had heard my advice but only heard part of it, and put vegetable oil, I don't know if it's corn oil or something like that, in her drain, and it got all sticky and gooey, and that's a no-no. You want to use mineral oil. Mineral oil, of course, is just different from the traditional corn oil, canola oil, and that. So that's, you want to use mineral oil. Mineral oil is what moms would give us when I was a little. I don't think mothers do this anymore, but when we had GI tract issues, upset tummies and stuff, they'd give us a little mineral oil, I think. Maybe it was, I don't know, for constipation, I guess, or something like that. But anyway, I don't think we do that anymore. I guess maybe it was child abuse and I didn't know it. Anyway, mineral oil is a different, it's very lightweight, but it is a petroleum-based product, and it will just sit there in that drain. So you're right, you have a floor drain in the utility room downstairs, and you never think about dumping water in it. Why would you? You know, and if it just sits there next to the water heater. And when the water evaporates from the drain, of course, the sewer gas smell starts coming in from the city sewer line. So you can take a pint of mineral oil, dump it in that drain. It'll just sit there minding its own business. If it needs to get out of the way, if water comes in, it'll be pushed out of the way because water floats on oil, of course. So, yeah, mineral oil, pint of mineral oil in your floor drain is just the ticket. Now, if you have central air and a humidifier, as I do on my furnace, that pretty much year-round there's water in that floor drain, because in the wintertime, the humidifier, the excess water overflows through a plastic hose into that floor drain. And in the summertime, the condensate line, when your air condition dribbles into the drain also. So between those two, winter and summer, my floor drain stays pretty full. That may be the case at your house. But there's another drain in the house that you might want to think about, and some of you may not even know you have one. If you've got a washing machine on one of the upper levels, the first floor or the second floor, and basement always has a floor drain by code. It has to have. But the first floor washing machine or second floor washing machine, there's a floor drain under there somewhere. That's required by the code also. The problem is, of course, it never gets used. Hopefully it never gets used. That's there to catch water that might dribble out of the washing machine hoses. I don't know why the water would necessarily go in the drain, because the floor is flat. But anyway, that's another drain connected to the sewer. So that drain, you might have to get on your hands and knees with a flashlight, try to find it, and you can dump mineral oil in there also. Just a pint of mineral oil, you can get it at, Safeway or Walgreens or wherever, and that's just a one-time deal. So that's what you're talking about, Tammy, but no other kinds of oil, no vegetable oil, motor oil, or none of that, right? So that is an absolute must. Just use the mineral oil. Let's see here. 303-713-8255, our phone number. Mark sent me an email. Our 1972 home family room concrete slab has dropped, what does he say here, between 1 and 3 inches. That's a lot. We're planning on recarpeting the room. What can we do to level out this area? If the settling is along the edges of the room, and this is the most common situation, you're in luck. You can apply a layer of floor patching compound. It's a sort of like a plaster of Paris kind of thing. The problem is you're limited to an inch or less with that floor patching compound. If it gets too thick, it'll really crumble quickly. So if the settling is in a low traffic area, and I suspect it is, it's along the outside walls where the furniture goes, you can cheat a little bit and put a little thicker layer there. And you can also do the following in addition to the floor patching compound. You can put another layer or two, double or even triple pad the area. Carpet layers, it's a little tricky, but they can put a second layer of carpet pad over that. It'll almost level that floor. And as I say, on the outside wall, the furniture is there, the TV, the sofa, and everything. You don't really notice it, but you can at least diminish that gap with the floor patching compound and extra carpet pad. Now, of course, you can mud jack that floor, and mud jacking is a very, very reliable way to handle this. The problem is, for a small job like this, it's pretty expensive, so you could check that out. If the whole floor is dropped, just boom, down 1, 2, or 3 inches, as you were describing in your email, then you might want to mud jack the whole family room, just along the edges. Usually, for some reason or other, it's that maybe out a foot, 8 to 12 inches from the wall is the part that breaks off and settles. That's because when the builder compacted the soil, they didn't want to get too near that concrete walls. They thought they might crack it, so they stay away from the outside. So the soil under the outside wall is weak and consolidates because it hasn't been compacted like it should have been. That's what's going on here. So if it's just a few inches out from the wall and dropped an inch or two, yeah, the floor patching compound is a good choice for that, and or the double carpet padding. The carpet layers won't like it because it's just a lot of extra work for them, and they have to figure out what to do with the tack strip. And you can have them do that. They'll work with you on that. Try to get that leveled out. Put your sofa back over it, and you won't notice it. Well, that's part one of the program. We'll be back with part two of Around the House and the rest of this week's email and your phone calls right after the news. So give us a call right here on Around the House. Well, there Good Afternoon, part two of Around the House is underway, and we're anxious to hear from you. I don't know if we're anxious. Maybe we're eager to hear from you at 303-713-8255 and live email at aroundthehouse.com. Whatever's going on around your hacienda, we'd be delighted to talk to you about it. So check in with us if you would like. And the live email is cool, too, because I just read your email as it comes in. And during the week, of course, if you want to email me, that's easy to do at aroundthehouse.com. And I'm pretty good about answering emails. I think I usually get back within usually 12, less than a day. Usually, 12, 15 hours overnight or that day, I'll be sure to respond to your email because I like, I get irritated when people don't respond to my emails, so I'm very good about responding to yours if you want to ask me a question. I get a lot of emails about whom do I recommend various contractors and building trades and so on. So, as I say, within 12 to 24 hours, you'll get an answer from me, and I am happy to engage with you. Try to keep it pithy, and one topic per email really works. Well, if you want to send me a second one, that's okay. But sometimes I get long essays that are hard to boil down for me to, because I get a lot of them. So be as brief and succinct as you can, but I'd be delighted to answer your emails at the aroundthehouse.com website. No charge for that, of course. I just am glad to interact with my audience. So you can do that. And by the way, speaking of during the week, if you want to check out the podcast of Around the House, that's available at the iHeart site. Shannon will post today's podcast sometime this evening, and it'll be available. Just go to the iHeart site, or you can go through the aroundthehouse.com website, and you click on the Listen to Podcast icon, and it'll take you to the iHeart site, and there you'll have Around the House programs going back into 2016, the last time I looked. So a lot of info there if you want to check out the podcast. We'd love it. A lot of people do that, and I'm amazed at how, well, I'm not amazed. I guess it was the next thing. Podcast is becoming quite popular. I'm an old terrestrial radio guy from when I was a kid, so this is my favorite medium. But podcasting is becoming a bigger and bigger deal, and so we're on that bandwagon. If you want to check out the Around the House podcast, do that. And you can do that at the site. I think there's a pair of earphones there, which is the icon you click on, Listen to Podcasts. Anyway, 303-713-8255 right now in the studio. And let's see here. This is from John. I had an upstairs toilet overflow. It leaked down onto the garage ceiling. Should I remove the drywall, even though the ceiling is not sagging? Well, I don't think so. I hope you don't have to. If you caught it right away and fixed the toilet overflow, I think you'll be okay. Our low humidity here in the high plains of the country helps disperse and evaporate water leaks, even inside walls and ceilings. Kind of amazing, actually, because that humidity, that water just travels out from that wall cavity through the sheetrock and gets dispersed. It also means that if we do get some mold growth, it's usually pretty anemic. So, because you need a constant moisture source for mold to grow and thrive. So unlike folks maybe down south or in the eastern part of the country, leaks, as you describe, which are fixed in a day or two, usually don't cause any long-term problems. That wouldn't be true in other parts of the country where mold is kind of the state flower in many of those states. Mm-hmm. If you do see a little mold stain leaching through the drywall, but it isn't sagging, just put a little Kills or Bullseye primer on it to seal it, and repaint, and you're in business. So seal it and paint over it if there's a little mold staining, but I would not replace the drywall if it isn't sagging. Let's talk to Tom in Broomfield. Tom, you're on the air with Ken Moon Around the House. Hi. Hello.
Hi, I have a question. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely, yeah. What's going on?
Okay. I have a question concerning a furnace. This is a forced hot air furnace. It's a Train high efficiency. This mm-hmm. happened in another state, but I just want to get your perspective on it. I was told that the secondary heat exchanger on the furnace needed to be replaced. And I said, fine. The part was still under warranty. The furnace was about 15 years old. And so they came in and fixed it. And then they left. A day or two later, it's 40 degrees in the place for my temperature monitor. So it's not working.
Okay.
Or something's not working. They come in the second time, make some adjustment. I talked to the repair person. I believe he said it was some type of sensor.
Mm-hmm.
They leave. A day or two later, it's 40 degrees again. They come back in the third time, and they said it needed a new board. So they put in a new board. The motherboard, I believe it's called.
That's a big deal, but it's under warranty, you said. So, yeah, okay.
No, I don't think that is. Okay. And then
it is
later.
Okay. No, I was going to ask you. I thought you'd indicated early in the conversation, Tom, that it was a warranty repair. Was it the heat exchanger warranty only and the rest had expired? Is that the situation?
As I understand it,
okay.
Yes. Was the heat exchanger part, not labor. So anyway, they come in the fourth time, and they put in a new burner, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
And since then, it has worked okay. So this is my question. I don't know a lot about furnaces, but my reaction to this was, this is insanity. Four times in the house when it should have been once, maybe twice. But I just want your perspective on this. As I understand it, there could have been some type of, it was starting to leak water, which is why it needed the secondary heat exchanger. Maybe they put it in and the board was just about shot. I don't know, but any perspective from you, because this is a big outfit, but because of COVID, it's hard to get a hold of them. They don't return calls. The bill hasn't shown up yet. But just your perspective on this.
What do you think?
I want to be fair.
What do you think the bill is going to be, Tom?
Well, the secondary heat exchanger. I was told there was a lot of labor involved, and that was $600 to $700.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Initially, before that was put in, I said, "Well, should I put in a new furnace?" And they said no because of what a furnace would cost, et cetera, et cetera. But with all this other stuff, I'm beginning to wonder. I have no idea what the bill is going to be because I'm 2,000 miles away. They would go in, they fixed it, and I was really beggars can't be choosers, if you know what I mean. Otherwise,
yeah, well,
I
do understand because 40 degrees is not a laughing matter when you got live plumbing in the house. It sounds to me like a diagnosis problem that they didn't send the right technician. Some of that diagnosis is done by the computer itself. There are codes that they can read and so on. That's not a blanket thing, but the computer itself can be helpful. I mean, it sounds to me, my impression, Tom, is they were just picking parts sort of at random. Well, we got to do this one. Now let's try this one. Let's try this one until they found the right thing. It sounds like it was the burner and not the computer board, but we'll never know because that's gone also. So I just think they sent a technician that wasn't very knowledgeable and they just, instead of doing a true diagnosis and getting to the problem, they just kept replacing parts until they found the right one. It sounds quite amateurish. Is that your impression? And by the way...
That was my opinion. It's kind of like if you take your car to the garage, hopefully they fix it the first time. If they don't, maybe you'll give them a second time, but not four times, you know?
Yeah, we'll put a new transmission in, then a new engine, then, it was the radio all along, that kind of thing. Comedy routine.
Your perspective is very helpful because what you're saying is perhaps it did need the secondary heat exchanger, but then after that, you have a situation where you would think it would have needed the computer board or a burner, not both.
Yeah, neither one is another possibility. So I'll tell you what I would do. I mean, you haven't seen the bill yet, but I would sure hold their feet to the fire in terms of you know, I'll pay you for the heat exchanger because it was they do go bad, and because the liquid in the, these furnaces are is very acidic and on, and sometimes they just fail. And I'll pay you maybe for the burner. But I'm not paying for the computer because that obviously wasn't the problem. So I think you have a strong negotiating position here. You know, in the old thing, a Train is a good brand, by the way. It's an old brand that's that I recognize as a good company. So I don't know. Have you interfaced with any of the upstream people, like the zone people or anything for Train?
No, I haven't. I haven't called Train, actually.
I would go to the Train website, and I would let you tell it. I mean, you're a good storyteller, Tom, so I'd just lay out an email with all the things you just told me and get to that upstream person at the corporate headquarters and get some relief here. Because, in another arena, if this were a car, we'd have called it a lemon, right? Because just one thing and another.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Maybe I should. I just had an idea because I'm calling you in Denver. This is back on Cape Cod, Massachusetts, where this occurred, out southeast of Boston. I just had another idea. Maybe the guy, I'm going to be fair, but if he's not being reasonable, I'll say, well, you know, they have shows, home repair shows on Cape Cod, too. If you want me to call this up and you want some bad airtime, I guess I could do that, too, you know?
Yeah, and it sounds to me like the dealer is the one that sent the technician out, right?
This is not Train. This is just a, it's called, it's a place that does heating and cooling repair.
It's the dealer. I think Train can put some pressure on them and maybe share in the expenses, because it sounds like you got a lemon to begin with, and combined with a technician that didn't know how to diagnose things. So, Tom, let me know how this comes out, but I would not start writing checks until they take a little responsibility for this, okay?
Yeah. One final thought. What you said really caught me in it, and what you're saying is, they put the board in, which is not inexpensive, and it didn't work, so they went to the burner, so maybe the old board was just fine, right?
Why didn't they put the old board back if it didn't work? And I don't know if they sent it back to the factory, who knows? But that intermediate step bothers me. If it really was the burner, ultimately, and the heat exchanger was bad, fine, but that middle step, I don't know if I'd be anxious to pay for that, so... I would let me know how this comes out. The board is expensive. Okay, Tom, good to hear from you. Frustrating, particularly when you're this far away. Speaking of furnaces, I wanted to talk to you about Brian at Eagle Crest. He carries the Rheem brand, not Train, and I'm a big fan of Rheem. I have a Rheem furnace that he put in and a Rheem water heater. This is an email from Karen. Just wanted to let you know that Brian was far and away last week. Not far away last week, and did come to check out our heating issues. His knowledge and problem-solving skills are superb. Thank you, Karen, for that. Didn't try to sell us a new furnace, just decided our airflow and ducting was at fault. So, bravo, Brian at Eagle Crest. Just what you need when you need it, since 1983. Doesn't have technicians on commission that need to sell you some expensive parts. So give him a call, 303-451-5607. He's a Denver-based heating and air conditioning contractor. I get people all the time that say, you know, will he come to Monument? Will he come to the Northern Springs or Colorado Springs, parts of the Springs, or will he come to Fort Collins or Longmont? Because they hear these commercials and they want to know. And Brian, it just depends how busy he is. So if you are in one of the suburbs or maybe up in Longmont area or maybe in Monument or somewhere, don't hesitate to give him a call, 303-451-5607. And if you need AC at your house, if you've had a hot summer and you're sick of it, I don't blame you. Get Central Air for $3,500 complete. That's totally installed on a Rheem system. Best price in town. So call Brian and get that done, 303-451-5607. You'll love the way this guy conducts his business, and you'll be a fan just like Karen was. And thanks for that email again, Karen. Brian Eaglecrest, 303-451-5607. We'll be right back, right here on Around the House.
Bow, 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 bow.
house, break around the house. That's why there's Around the House with Ken Moon.
It's 5:25. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms listening in the audience, grandmas and great grandmas. There's a lot of great grandmas around, a lot more than when I was a young guy. It's becoming more and more of a no big deal. Great grandparents are everywhere, right? And actually, I am one also. Pat myself on the back. But anyhow, happy Mom's Day to all you ladies in the audience. This is from Bill. You mentioned a pump that circulates hot water to the bathroom in the morning. Can you remind me what it is and how to get it? There are several versions of this. They all work the same way. A small pump pulls hot water to the farthest away bathroom sink while pushing it back down the cold water pipe to circulate back through the water heater. It just goes round and round. And there's a small timer which turns on the pump before you arise in the morning. They're very homeowner friendly. The ones I'm familiar with, the Watts system, WATTS system, they all are about a couple $100, I think. There was another one called the AutoCirc by the Lange company. I don't know if that's still around or not, but they're, as I say, homeowner friendly. You plug them in and you have to bridge with a little plastic pipe and some fittings between the hot and cold water pipe. And yeah, they work pretty well. You can set the timer to start about, you know, half hour before you get up in the morning, and it pulls out hot water right to that farthest away bathroom. Now, the only downside to these, I hear people say, is that since the hot water is being shoved back down through the cold water side, that the cold water isn't all that cold at first. And that's, you know, what are you going to do? But this is a good way to get hot water to that farthest away bathroom. Now, if you have access underneath the bathroom, maybe you have a crawl space or something, you can put a third pipe down there that will set up a loop round and round back to the bottom of the water heater. So that's a three-pipe system that many custom homes have that attaches, as I say, to the bottom of the water heater and goes to that farthest away bathroom. So that's an internal hot water loop that by convection goes, you know, rises to the bathroom and then falls down to the bottom of the water heater and goes round and round and it gets heated. You can put a pump in there too or just let it work by gravity. But it's nice to have that hot water right away. You know, I know a lot of people don't like wasting water, and I don't either. But you can collect some of it if you want to collect water that you wait. I had someone call here one day years ago that actually collected the water that she theoretically would waste in the morning getting hot water to her bathroom and used it to water her plants. Pretty good idea. Very environmentally conscious. So that's something you can do. But yeah, those little circulating pumps. I saw one, the Watts one, I saw on Amazon, and I think it was around $200. You could check me on that, but give or take. Easy to put in, and it's pretty clever technology also. There's another one called the Hot Water Lobster that has no pump. It just relies on convection. This can be a little tricky because if there are check valves in your water heater piping that you may not even be aware of, then that won't work for reasons, you know, wasting energy kind of reasons. So you need to have somebody like a plumber check for check valves, so that the Hot Water Lobster relies on that convection, round and round through convection and gravity. But you can't put one on if you have check valves because it just won't work. So that's something. Hot Water Lobster, I like that name. It's a wonderful name that indicates just what this does. And so you can check that out online too and have your plumber see if it is compatible. Okay, 303-713-8255. Before we go to break, Gene says, my bathroom was remodeled several years ago. The new texture doesn't match the old walls. How can I redo it? Well, there's no real reliable way to do this. If you try to sand it, you'll damage the drywall, which will make it look even worse. Better to cover it up. You could re-drywall, but that's pretty messy and expensive. And I know this sounds kind of old-fashioned and kind of dorky, but you could add a liner paper and then apply a heavy vinyl wallpaper over the texture, if you will, and it'll hide the difference in the old texture and the new texture. A liner paper and then a vinyl cover. And the vinyl cover can be very unobtrusive. It can be a tan or gray or some tone of vinyl paper that just blends into the wall. You won't even notice it's there. So you could do that. That's the same kind of thing. If you've been in a manufactured home, a lot of times they'll have pre-fabricated panels that have a heavy vinyl coating on them. So it's a one-stop deal. You just put those panels up and put little batten strips between them, and then you have a finished room with no taping or texturing at all. And that vinyl that you can see is very, as I say, unobtrusive. Kind of thing you might see in a doctor's office or some kind of office that you visit. So that's one answer to this. Of course, you could trying to remove old texture by sanding or scraping or something just doesn't work out very well. And you couldn't have a drywaller come in and retexture because they don't match in the first place. So that's as good as I can recommend is to cover it up. Either re-sheet rock, which is a real hassle, or do the liner paper and the heavy-duty vinyl wallpaper over the top. It looks better. You're kind of rolling your eyes when I say wallpaper, but it doesn't look too bad. I think you might be surprised. And this is a bathroom. Wallpapering in bathrooms can be, if you wanted to be a little edgy with some decorating, some colors that you would put in the wallpaper, you could have some fun with that. But that's just an answer here that would be so much. You could do that yourself versus having somebody come in and re-sheet rock and re-texture and re-this and re-that. So that's what I would recommend. There's no really easy answer here. I wanted to talk to you about the Bonide Company. They make some great yard and home products for your yard, your house plants, and your garden and so on, among which is the new Cleanup High Efficiency product. Cleanup with a K, K-L-E-E-N, Cleanup H-E. If you're tired of pulling those unwanted weeds that keep growing through your sidewalks and patio cracks and so on, you need Bonide Cleanup H-E. It gets rid of all unwanted weeds, grasses, other plants, right down to the root. It's systemic, so the plants don't regrow. Results can be seen in just, sometimes in as little as a few hours. So I want you to look for Cleanup HE at your favorite retailer. It's great for preparing flower beds and gardens for planting. By eliminating the weeds, your vegetables get off to a better start. So I'd like you to look for this product. Like all Bonide products, and I'm a big fan of theirs, it works really well, and it's not terribly expensive. So look for Cleanup HE if you want to get rid of those weeds. I'm having a dandelion infestation this year. I'm just so sick of it already, and it's early in the season. So this is the product to get rid of those and all the other unwanted weeds in your life. Bonide products are family made in America. And they're available at all of your favorite retailers, including Phelan Gardens in the Springs. Wright's Nursery in Arvada, O'Toole's over in Lakewood. And I've got a couple more of these. Country Fair Garden Center in Arvada and Denver True Value Hardware Store. Or you can go to Bonide.com, put your zip code in, and get a retailer near you for Bonide Cleanup HE. That stands for high efficiency, and you'll love how this product works in your yard. We'll be right back right here around the house.
Can be so confusing. Let Ken Moon help you fix things around the house.
21 minutes before 6 o'clock. We're glad you're with us here on the program. 303-713-8255 and live email at aroundthehouse.com. Whatever's going on around that place of yours. I hope you got your AC cranked up now. It's about time. And you might want to get that baby serviced. You know, you don't have to do it every year. We don't cool a whole bunch here. You know, in Phoenix, of course, they cool, 9 months a year or something like that. And so the air conditioners wear out very much more quickly than they do here. And so we cool 3 months a year, and that's okay. But you want every couple of years, you want to get your AC system checked out so they can check the pressure of the refrigerant, what we used to call Freon, and check for dirt in the coils and vacuum things out and just kind of make sure it's operating properly and efficiently, because we cool with electricity, as you know, around here, and that's pretty expensive. So you want your air conditioning to be as efficient as possible. So get that done. If you haven't done it in 2 or 3 years or longer, you can get that done right now. My buddy Brian over there at Eagle Crest has a combination heating, air conditioning check for only $89 in the metro area, and you can get $50 off of that if you just email me here in the studio. I'll get you a $50 gift card for any of Brian's services. So get that done, and you can, you know, there's no reason you can't check your furnace in the spring. It doesn't have to be in the fall. So if you get a combination furnace AC checkout, it's very efficient, saves you money and time. Don't have to be home twice, just once. So you can call Brian about that if you'd like to. And if you want a gift certificate, $50, give me an email here at aroundthehouse.com, and I'll send it over to Brian. But get the AC check, not, as I say, every year. You should get your furnace checked every year because there's carbon monoxide implications, and you don't want to go too long with a furnace that might be faulty. Of course, we all now have carbon monoxide detectors, and I'm glad we do, but there's nothing more beneficial and reliable than getting the furnace checked out each and every year at your house. 303-713-8255. Jim says, I want to stucco my house over the parts that now have siding. How should I approach this with contractors? Well, there's a lot of companies that can apply stucco over your old siding. They simply, it's kind of a neat process and simple. They staple the tar paper and wire mesh, which is called lath, you know, as you know, onto the wood, and then apply 2 or 3 coats of plaster stucco right over the house. Works well, and it's apparently very reliable. I've heard people call the show here say that it changed their whole display of how the street presentation, the look of their home into something much more modern and less dingy and dreary than it used to be. So I would get bids on this. It's a little messy. Cleanup is a large part of this job, and so you want to ask prior owners, you know, prior customers of theirs, homeowners like yourself, how things went. So get some references from them. And also they need city licenses and insurance. So double check on their credentials because you want to make sure that they've got all the right paperwork. And it works pretty well, stucco over siding. It'll just make your house, the curb appeal will just skyrocket in your house and you'll look more modern and up to date than your neighbors look. And I just think it's a good deal. Stucco over siding, I was skeptical of it at first. But between the lath and the 2 or even 3 coats, sometimes you put a third top coat on the stucco, seems to, you know, it's stucco is basically a concrete kind of idea with cement and lime in it and so on. And between that and the lath, it's a very, very hard surface that is very stiff and unyielding. And so I think you'll really enjoy it. You can pick your color and totally change the color and the look of your house. And I think it's something you should consider. Absolutely. Stucco over siding. Sounds a little odd. You can, in some cases, if you wanted to put a layer of styrofoam sheathing under there, like a half inch or something, to get a little more insulation value out of your walls in an older house, that's something you can do also. Pretty easy to do when they do the whole process. So it's going to cost more, of course. But this is a fairly expensive process. So you want to get 2 or 3 bids just so you make sure that you're getting a fair price. And of course, as with all contractors these days, the home builders have stucco folks really tied up because home builders are behind and trying to get caught up. The stucco folks are a very big part of that process. So you'll have to wait, which is okay. That's fine. But you get in the queue with these people and get that stucco over siding, and I think you'll be very, very pleased. You could re-side the house if you wanted to put some cement-based cement board like Hardy board on the house, or you could apply vinyl. Some people like vinyl siding, but I think if you can afford it at all, the stucco over siding is a wonderful process that we'll so appreciate in terms of the way it makes your house look. It'll raise the value of your house, no doubt about it, but make it so much more appealing at your house. So I think you'll. By the way, you know, you'll get names from these contractors, names and addresses, hopefully, of 2 or 3 folks they've done this work for, and you can drive by and see how the houses look. But cleanup is a huge part of any stucco job, so make sure that they are conscientious in the cleanup arena, because it just really It just makes a mess, and they can't be helped. So they'll have to do a lot of post-job work to get the yard back to the way you want it. 303-713-8255, and we'll be right back right here on Around the House.
From your faucet to your furnace, Ken Moon has solutions around the house.
Welcome back. It's 11 minutes before the hour now. Let's talk to Mary over in Louisville, Colorado. Mary, you're on the air with Ken Moon around the house. Hi.
Hi. Great to talk to you. Hey,
and I feel the same way. I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Yeah. I just had a quick question about those, like, gutter covers, gutter guard, gutter brush, blah, blah, blah. Are any of them better than any of the others?
Well, they all kind of operate on the same, well, the same principle theoretically. There's one style that has kind of a little roof over your gutters, and there's a little slit where the water curves over this cap on the gutters and goes underneath into the gutters. There's another style that has sort of a mesh or a screen that goes over the top of your gutters, and they all have their pluses and minuses. They work pretty well. They can be a little pricey. The only downside to them that I'm aware of, and I don't have a favorite style one way or the other. The only downside I'm aware of, Mary, is that they on the north side of the house, sometimes they can encourage ice dams to form. You know what ice dams are, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So that can be an issue, especially with the ones that have the cover and the little narrow slit for the water to go under. But all in all, it's much better than climbing up and cleaning out the gutters. They do need to be cleaned once in a while. If you have a lot of pine trees around your house, sometimes in the mesh style, the pine needles get stuck in the mesh and in the grooves and the little holes. And that's something that's you don't have to handle every year, but you just have to keep an eye on them once in a while to see if they need to be hosed off or something. But all in all, it's a good thing. Do you have a high, like a two-story house that's pretty far out of the ground?
Yes. Yeah, I do. My concern is I have in the front yard, which faces north, you know, where all the ice and everything would be. I have one of those trees that has those little tiny leaves. I don't know if it's a locust or whatever. Oh, it's a honey locust, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
And are all the, you know, I don't want all those leaves, little tiny leaves, like getting stuck in the thing, and then I end up having to pay somebody to clean the gutters anyway. So.
No, and so that you might be a more amenable to the non-mesh style, to the little roof style. Do you know, can you picture what I'm saying with that roof?
Yep.
Where you have, it's a little overlay or a cap that goes all the way along the gutters, and the leaf guard and leaf helmet, I think, gutter helmet and leaf guard, I think, are two of those brands. And the little slit lets the water curve in by surface tension, but all the leaves go overboard. So I think that would be the style for you. But as I say, it can be a little pricey. So I would sure make sure you get real competitive quotes on that. And by the way, this might be a little too much, you know, brain damage for all of us. They do sell products online that you can buy, leaf covers, leaf guards, leaf, you know, the leaf protectors. And I think that you can find those online. You can buy them by the foot. The word I was looking for is gutter cover. You can buy it by the foot and have somebody install them for you. So you might want to check that out. Now, whether you can, I know Amazon has them, and whether Amazon has installers in other arenas like plumbing, I know Amazon has installers they can send to your house when you buy stuff from them. So you might check that out also. But I would probably try first to get a bid from Leaf Guard and Gutter Helmet, two of the, and they used to be sponsors on the program years ago. And the systems are pretty well thought of. So I hope that's helpful to you. With the locust trees, I think you want to not do the mesh style for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a locust tree in my yard, and the darn thing keeps dropping these seed pods. Do you have the same thing at your house?
You know, I think I, what are those? That must be a female, and I think I have a male. I don't,
okay.
I get maybe one or two of those pods, but it's kind of like every tree has, you know, little sticks and little
twigs and stuff.
I don't know what,
So, well, anyway, I hope that's helpful for you, and I hope, as I say, be careful on the bids, and kind of just do an apples and apples situation, and I think you'll be happy. Sure. But not having to climb up a two-story house or hire somebody to do it. Thanks for your call, Mary.
Okay,
I appreciate
it. Sure, you're welcome. Right.
Happy Mother's Day to you, too. I appreciate your calling. 303-713-8255. And let me say on a blanket basis, happy Mother's Day to all the moms and grandmas in the audience and new mothers especially. So I hope you have a wonderful day tomorrow. It's your day. And get yourself waited on. That's a big deal, right? 303-713-8255. Yvonne sent me an email. We have a moss rock wall in our basement. Some of the moss is drying out and falling off. Is there a way to treat the rocks to preserve the moss, or should we coat it? Some people think you can take, and it's not really moss, it's lichen, but, you know, we won't quibble. That's exact. Technically, from a botanical standpoint, that's what it is. Some people say you can put a clear varnish over the lichen, and it will preserve it and lock it into place if it turns green and you like that color. Fine. I don't know if I would do that. I've had people tell me that it's worked fine for them. But you can, there's another way to nourish your lichen / moss on your rock is to use a spray bottle filled with this distilled water with a couple tablespoons of beer in it. The carbohydrates in the beer apparently nurtures the lichen and makes it thrive. It'll come back. Lichen, there is a hibernation thing that goes on with it. So if you think it's dead, it may not be. And you may start to get that real little tiny, you know, that little tint of green, which is what you see when you when the lichen is thriving. So spray a little diluted beer and water on there and see what happens. I don't know. The varnish thing, I have mixed feelings about that. I think the water and beer might work pretty well, Yvonne, in your case. So give that a try. Finally, Mike wants to know this messy black residue around his door hinges, which is really a pain. Usually it's around that garage door, which goes out to the garage. It's the heaviest door in the house, and it rubs, the hinges rub and release this kind of residue. It's other hinges too, but mostly that walk out in and out of the garage kind of door. And it just produces a mess. There's oil and grease and microscopic metallic pieces and even dust and dirt in there. The way to get rid of this is to first remove the hinge pins one at a time. And when you take them out, wipe them down with mineral spirits and reinstall them after you clean them off and just let it go. Don't lubricate. We tend to over-lubricate doors with oil or grease or something, but a door will let you know when it's time to lubricate it. It'll let you know by simply squealing or squeaking, and if that happens, you can put just a few drops of WD-40 or 3-in-1 like sewing machine oil, light oil into the pin of the noisy hinges. Otherwise, use the door normally. It'll let you know, as I say. Same with garage doors. You just lubricate it when it tells you to. The residue under these hinges acts like a liquid, so you'll have to use some goof off or under on it because it's a literal stain. The residue that falls off the hinges, but you can get rid of it with a little goof off or mineral spirits. And that's the show. That's all she wrote. So thanks for being with us today. Happy Mother's Day to you all tomorrow. Hope you have a wonderful day. Shannon Scott, as always, thanks for your expertise for producing the program. We'll see you next time. Same time, same station. God bless. Have a wonderful week. Next Saturday, right here on Around the House.